Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. So, how many of you imagine palms as we read passages from today's gospel at the start of the liturgy and just now? Raise your hand if you were thinking of palms in the scene. Okay. Palms, an ordinary and ubiquitous item, are something that becomes sacred to us as we celebrate Palm Sunday. They're part of the visions that we imagine as we think of Jesus returning to Jerusalem and being greeted by the crowds. We take them home, we put them behind crosses, we put them above doors or on nightstands. We think of the shouts of Hosanna to the King. But there are no palms in today's readings. Go ahead and check, I dare you. You will not find the word palm. We hear about a colt, and you might have imagined a donkey, as that's often how the scene is portrayed. We hear about cloaks being tossed into the streets, again, a sign of honoring royalty as royalty passes by. But we imagine the palms. As an FYI, we actually get them from John's gospel, which we did not read today. But the stones of the cobbled streets of Jerusalem, they play a key role in today's readings. Certainly in the first one, where we hear Jesus tell those who would tell his followers to hush up, that the stones themselves would continue their songs of praise even if people were silenced. And we get the sense that they see all that follows on the slow walk to the cross. And today, it's like we are those stones. We're the fly on the wall as we hear the whole story of Jesus's passion and death. This is the sacred story that we tell from Hosanna to crucify to finally Jesus's burial. Like the stones today, we get to see it all. And we remember that like the crowd, we are capable of it all. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We listen, we remember, and we do this together in community, the crowd that we choose for ourselves. And we find Christ gathered with us as we walk through those days of the Passion. From our vantage point as the stones, we watch as the Passion plays out, and we get to decide where we are in this powerful story, where in the crowd we are as individuals and as Christ's church. As I prayed about Holy Week, I found myself thinking a lot about the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who clearly understood not only the community of the church, but also where we fall short. And then the life of this modern saint, who we actually celebrated this past week on our liturgical calendar, we get an idea of just how easy it can be to cry crucify, and how costly it can be to step forward against the grain and do simple acts of truthfulness in a troubled time. Now, many of us have become familiar with Bonhoeffer's life in recent years, but I would say even his life story has been politicized in today's tense partisan world. But Bonhoeffer's theology points to both the role of community and the difficulties of what it means to follow the Christian life, particularly in his book called Life Together. In this work, Bonhoeffer makes a challenging assertion, one that rejects anyone who would try to co-opt his legacy for political ideas on any side of the aisle. He says that our command is not to love a vision of community or to love ideals that create a community. It's to love radically those who are around us. And it's to love Christ Jesus. And it's through this love that the world changes. We are not seduced by the talking points of any political party. We're not distracted by the cries of the crowd. We're not consumed by resentments of what others are or aren't doing. This, what he calls a divine reality, is how we are to walk in and be in the world. It guides our every action, and it calls us forth into our baptismal identity. He writes, "The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community." He goes on to write that this kind of love is not the love of a hothouse flower, something that you take out of a greenhouse only to wilt by the end of the night, but it's more of a lush garden with hardy vegetables that can weather any sort of climate or change. Now, this might sound like a cop-out. It might sound like it's super cerebral and spiritual, and it's not doing anything. But what Bonhoeffer is doing here is actually not letting us off the hook. We're called to love, and in that love, God creates the village, the neighborhood, the world. And for those of you who have become familiar with Bonhoeffer's life, you know that he was a man of action, not just lofty words and thoughts. He wrote, "Who can be really faithful in great things if he has not learned to be faithful in the things of daily life?" So when the German Christian churches aligned themselves with Nazi nationalism, Bonhoeffer helped found the Confessing Church, including an underground seminary. In fact, that's when he wrote Life Together, not in a time of luxury where he could think deep thoughts, but in a time where he was in every moment in danger. He became a double agent in the German intelligence agency, and while a pacifist, he was arrested after becoming involved in a plan to assassinate Adolf Hitler. And he was hung by the Nazi regime as World War II ground to its bloody end. I think of what the stones in Jerusalem saw in those crowds as Jesus spent his final days in his earthly human form. The paved stones in Jerusalem actually were the building project of Pontius Pilate, that thug-made Roman governor that we hear about in today's reading. I expect the stones felt the loneliness and fear of those who felt like they were backed into a corner, who lied and said they never knew Jesus, who sold their friend to an executioner. And I think about the stones in the prison in Flossenbürg, where Bonhoeffer was held in his final days. Because this way of life together, the way of Jesus, if we're doing it right, it is costly. Early one morning in April of 1945, a week after Easter, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was asked to lead a service for some of his fellow prisoners. Two men came in just as he had finished his final prayer. "Prisoner Bonhoeffer, get ready. Come with us," they said. Every prisoner had heard these words and knew what it meant, the scaffold. Bonhoeffer turned to a friend and said, "This is the end. For me, the beginning of life." Palm Sunday marks the end, and it marks the beginning. We are coming to the end of Lent. We are beginning Holy Week. And the stones continue to watch us. The stones of Flossenbürg likely heard the echo of Bonhoeffer's feet as he was led to the gallows that morning with the tramp of the boots of Nazi prison guards. And the stones in Jerusalem continue to keep their vigil, even to this day with us, waiting to see what we will do, to see how we will respond to the cross. Holy Week is our chance to walk, the way of life together, the way of the cross. Palm Sunday calls us to step out on those stones. We're called to pray, to watch, to listen, not to leave the world behind, but to let our feet be led down the stone path by God, who walked the long, slow walk to the cross, to the end and to the beginning, and to the empty tomb. Amen.